Page 80. Let's look here where we go get other people's permission to make amends before we do so.
This brings to mind the story about one of our friends. While drinking, he accepted a sum of money from a bitterly hated business rival, giving him no restraint for it. He subsequently denied having received the money and used that the incident as a basis for discrediting the man. He thus used his own wrongdoing as a means of destroying the reputation of another. In fact, his rival was ruined. He felt that he had done wrong, but he could not possibly make right. If he opened the old affair, he was afraid it would destroy his reputation or his partner, disgrace his family, and take his means of livelihood from him. What right had he to involve those dependent upon him? How could he possibly make a public statement exonerating his rival? Now, he didn't get permission. He consulted with his wife and partner, and he came to the conclusion that it was better to take those risks than to stand before his Creator guilty of ruinous slander. He saw that he had to place the outcome in God's hands, or he would soon start drinking again, and he would lose all anyhow. He attended church for the first time in many years. After the sermon, he quietly got up and made an explanation. His action was met by widespread approval, and today he is one of the most trusted citizens of his town. This all happened years ago.
See, I think what we got to remember as we're doing this stuff, in fact, all the way through our steps, we people who have always been selfish and self-centered and self-directed, before coming to AA, we've never really turned to others for advice. We've never listened to anybody. We've never depended upon other people. But now then, when we're in the program, and we're trying to work these steps, and we're trying to make our contact with God as we understand Him, I think we got to remember all the way through these steps, we're not alone anymore. You know, we've got other people in AA to help us and support us, and God's with us through each one of these things. Every one of these action steps has some prayer in it, realizing we just can't do these things for ourselves. And it doesn't make any difference how afraid we are or how much we're worried about the outcome. If we're willing to do these things, God's going to make it possible to do so. And almost invariably, it comes out okay. Page 80 and 81 deals with sex outside of marriage. What are we going to do about that kind of stuff? It really doesn't make any sense for us to go to our spouses and lay out blow by blow every sexual escapade that went on out there. We're not married to a bunch of dummies. If we've been out there fooling around, they know it. And if we start naming names and particular instances, we're just going to make it that much worse and hurt them that much further. Besides that, sometimes if we name names, the spouse may go out and get even with some other people too, and we might end up hurting several people. About all I could really do is go to my wife and say, look, you know what I was doing, and I know what I was doing, and I know I've hurt you in those areas. I'm sorry about doing it. I ask your forgiveness, and with God's help, from this day on, I'm going to try to be the kind of husband I should have been in the first place, and then start living the kind of life that I ought to live. That's the only amends I could make to my children. I just had to go to my children and tell them the same thing, and with God's help, I'm going to try to be the kind of father I should have been in the first place. And usually over a period of time, they will accept that. But we certainly don't need to be naming names and maybe hurt other people. Page 83. Third paragraph. There may be some wrongs we can never fully right. Some of those people we owe amends to, they're already dead and buried. Or some of them, if we made the amends, it would hurt them further. Or just as importantly, it may hurt some other people too. And we don't worry about them if we can honestly say to ourselves that we would write them if we could. Some people cannot be seen. We send them an honest letter. There may be a valid reason for postponing in some cases. But we don't delay if it can be avoided. We should be sensible, tactful, considerate, and humble, without being servile or scraping. As God's people, we stand on our feet. We don't crawl before anyone. We will make our amends. Hopefully they'll accept it. If they don't, there's not a thing we can do about that. We simply leave, stand ready to make it again later if the opportunity arrives, but we don't have to crawl before anyone. And one of the mistakes I see people making is we go to them to make an amend, they won't accept it, and we literally beg them to do so. And we keep going back and back and back and back and begging them to forgive. We don't need to do that. Let's make our amends the best we can. Let's stand on our own 2 feet and let's get on with our business. Joe?
After that mobile home incident I told you about yesterday where my wife embarrassed me in front of my girlfriend, filed for divorce and all that stuff. Well, sometime later, I don't know how long, it was quite a while, but I got sober. And then I made amends with Phyllis. She used to just hang up the phone. And anyhow, long story short, 2.5 years later, she got sober in Alcoholics Anonymous. 9 years after this, I'm standing in the back of the room one night greeting people as they come in, and I turn around, and here's the lady of the mobile home incident. Phyllis was at the coffee pot. That's all happened that quick. Some of the guys said, well, what did Phyllis say? I said, well, she didn't say anything for about a week. And one night we were going to another meeting, and this lady was there. And then Phyllis began to talk ugly to me. They'll do that, you know. And then we'll go to another meeting. Here was that lady, and she began to talk ugly to me again. And she began to make me pay the price again. And after a couple of weeks, we were able to talk about this. And finally, I told her, I said, Phyllis, I said, you know I've already paid a hell of a price for this deal. Financially, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, every way you can possibly pay, I have already paid. And I told you when we got back together, I wouldn't do those things anymore. And you know that I haven't. I mean, they know. Believe me, they know. One, they know. We know, don't we, guys and gals? We know. And I said, you know I haven't, okay? And I said, you've got a real problem with that lady, and I don't. And I suggest that you get that straightened out. I said, it's kind of like last month's electric bill. I paid it, and I'm not paying no more. I'm through paying. They'll let you pay forever if you'll pay. After you've done all you can possibly do to make amends, one day you got to quit paying. Men and women got to quit paying. Otherwise, I've seen some sick eyes here this weekend. And we'll have those sick eyes for a long, long time if we continue to pay. The guilt, shame, and remorse will eat you alive, and they'll let you eat yourself alive unless you quit paying. That's what I'm trying to say.
What did Phyllis finally do about that deal?
Oh, yeah. She went to this lady. I better tell this. I used to not tell it. But she went to that lady and invited her out to lunch. And they went to lunch. I don't know everything that was said, but this was the gist of it. She told that lady that AA is big enough for the two of them, no doubt. But our group wasn't. And they got it all straightened out, and we haven't had any problems with that since.
By the way, Phyllis has been sober 26 years in AA, too. She's quite a gal.
Yeah.
Okay, we want to look at another little picture now before we go any further. Would somebody volunteer to stick that over there?
Yeah.
We talked before about we human beings being tri-dimensional creatures. The book told us way back there at the beginning of step four, we were spiritually ill, we were mentally ill, and we were physically ill. And it said when the spiritual malady is overcome, we then straighten out mentally and physically. We read in the big book, it says in one place that this is a design for living that really works. And it looks to me like these first 9 steps that we've talked about up to this point are designed to put us back together in all 3 dimensions of life. For instance, step 1, 2, and 3, they get us right with the Spirit. Because we are powerless, we saw the need for the power, and in step 3, we made a decision to go after that power. We decided to let God be the director. And that's the first time we've had that relationship with God in a long, long, long time. So 1, 2, and 3 gets us right with God. That removes just enough self-will from us to let us start looking within our own minds to see what our problems really are. And as we looked into our own minds and we found the damaged stock in trade, the resentments, the fear, the guilt, the remorse, the selfishness, the dishonesty, the self-seeking frighten, the inconsideration. For the first time in our lives, we begin to see that we're the problem, not them, us. We talked about it to another human being to make sure we were right. And we went to step 6 and 7, and we began to work on those character defects. And we start getting right up here in our head through 4, 5, 6, and 7. That removes just enough self-will to let us start looking at 8 and 9. And 8 and 9, we made our list. We made our amends wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. And slowly the guilt, the remorse begins to disappear, and our relationship with the world and everybody in it becomes better and better.